Hello. So we're back on the air here. Mike, Mitch is me. It's 7:15 here on WMSC-FM. And I have in the studio here Gary Ault. Hi, Gary.
Hi. How you doing, Mike?
Doing very well. I was excited to have you here. I was happy when Joey asked me to take over a show this week. I love doing this Sunday night gig because more people are available to come on the show live than on the Friday morning. So I still get people on the Friday morning to come out here. And Gary's going to be here for a couple hours. He has five CDs, so we'll play a few songs from his CDs, and he's got his guitar here, so he's going to play a couple things live. And I was spying on Gary on his website, and I discovered that I don't even have to ask him, Gary, what is your Desert Island list of CDs? Because he already had it up there on his website. But I didn't start with number 10. I started somewhere around 7 or 6 or 7 or something, because it was the Beatles. And interestingly, the last song I played on Friday was a Paul McCartney song from his new album. And Gary is the host of, the name of the show is?
The Cavern.
The
Cavern, yep.
And that's a club that the Beatles played in.
Right. In Liverpool.
So I figured, let me start out with the Beatles songs on his list. Oh Darling, Here Comes the Sun, Come Together, Octopus's Garden, and The End. And that's from two Beatle albums, right? Meet the Beatles and Abbey Road. So that was appropriate to start with that, with Gary in the studio. Now, Gary has a song that we're about to play, and what you say? You said it's dedicated to one of the Beatles?
Yeah. Well, I did an album, I guess, I think in 08 or something. Probably have the copyright on here somewhere. And it's called Tribute. It's actually a double CD. It's called Tribute because I just decided to do a CD of just songs that I wrote and recorded that pay tribute to a songwriter or an artist, a group, what have you. And so it's a double CD because I just couldn't stop. There's so many people to pay tribute to. And when it came to the Beatles, I thought, well, I can't. How do you do it justice? I mean, they did so much different kind of material, rock and roll, you know, folky kind of stuff, Broadway kind of tunes, you know, you name it. And the four of them all had such major contributions to either songwriting or musicianship or what have you. I thought, well, you know what, let me just take this one at a time. So I did one for George, one for Ringo, one for Paul, and the one you're about to play is a tribute to John Lennon. And I kind of thought, it's called Falling Down, and it's lyrically, it's almost kind of similar to the kind of stuff he would do around the time that this style was, which was around the Help, Beatles 65 kind of era.
You wrote it, you mean?
No, that's the kind of style that it reflects. And I probably wrote it, I don't know, probably around 2006 or something like that.
And what other kind of people do you have tributes to on that album?
Oh, well, geez, everybody. I mean, like I said, some songwriters like Burt Bacharach and Hal David, Carole King. But then I'm, of course, mainly a guitarist. I also play piano and drums and things like that. But I am primarily, at least nowadays, a guitarist. So, I mean, Clapton is my absolute biggest.
Yeah, got the feeling.
Yeah. Clapton is, like, pretty much it for me. But, you know, Hendrix, Jeff Beck, the Allman Brothers, I don't know. I could run down a list here. John Fogerty and Neil Young. I mean, because I think that those guys are sensational songwriters, but they're very, very simple in their approach to songwriting. They write like three chord songs,
right?
That you'd think like, how can this possibly be good? It's so simple, but they manage to make every song unique and vital. You know, so I'm in awe of that. A whole bunch of other people. Chuck Berry.
So it sounds like there's a lot of songs on that.
Yeah,
CD.
There's probably like 30 songs.
Wow.
And a couple of pretty long ones, like there's a Jimi Hendrix tribute that's about, I don't know, 12 or 13 minutes long.
So where did you record this CD?
All in my studio.
Your own studio.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
Yeah, well, I mean, most of it. I did some of the vocals, quite a number of the songs. The vocals are by a friend of mine. His name is Jason Arvanitis, lives up in West Milford. And I think he probably came down to my studio to record some of them. But then we found out that it's just as easy for him to just record in his studio, very similar equipment, and then he just passes me the WAV file by email, and I mix it in, and there you have it.
Okay, what program do you use?
Well, I use a whole bunch of things because I'm not.
It's just a regular WAV file. It's not like a specific WAV file to a certain software. It's just a regular WAV.
Yeah, just a regular WAV file.
Just add to it. Okay.
Yeah, and most software will write and, you know, accept those kind of files. So I don't use Pro Tools, put it that way. So I basically use, for mixing, I use Acid.
Uh-huh.
I'm not on Acid when I'm doing it, but the name of the product, I don't know
yeah,
what it,
I've heard of it.
I don't know what that stands for, but ACID. Then I use SoundForge for like my wave editor.
I've
you know,
heard that
you
too.
Can, you can do the effects and, you know, do your dynamic adjustments and, you know, then I use something called T-Rax for mastering. And, you know, the basic equipment, I mean, the actual physical equipment is so minimal nowadays. I mean, you go into these studios and you see these, you know, 84 or whatever track, you know, mixing boards. They're not even really using them half the time because it's all done via software. So I just have a like an 8-track Tascam. It's about a $400 thing. It's nothing. Uh-huh. And I just do my basic recording on that, transfer it to the computer, and that's where I do all my effects and my mixing and mastering. So...
So what's the actual name of this song about John Lennon?
This is Falling Down.
Falling Down,
right.
By Gary Ault.
It's not that I expected you to be around to catch me if I'm falling. It's just I thought you'd realize I'd always be there when you needed me. Now I need a place to hide, some water to dig a hole that I can crawl in, crawl in. I'm falling, 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 yeah, I'm falling down. I'm calling you now. I'm falling down. I'm bleeding inside. Sneak away, get off the roller coaster. I am riding, riding, riding. I'm sliding, sliding, sliding. Yeah, I'm sliding away. What I'm asking for is more than just a shoulder for my crying, crying, crying. I'm trying, 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 trying to stay alive. I'm falling.
Falling Down by Gary Ault. He was singing the harmony vocals on the song he wrote, and the lead singer was
Jason Arvanitis.
Good song. I'm going to start the next track, and we're going to talk over it because it's an 8-minute track. And this is actually Gary's number 10 on his list of Desert Island Discs, and I've decided not to start the show with this track for some reason. I didn't want people to think that this was going to be a classical music show.
Right, right. But, for some reason, that's lethal. I don't know why, but
exactly. I mean, I like it myself. I definitely have attended classical concerts, and lately it's been more classical violinists because my daughter plays the violin, mm-hmm. so I'd like to get her that influence going. But this classical artist is Arthur Rubinstein, and he's playing Chopin, and apparently he's known for nocturnes.
Yeah.
But I was checking the pieces that Rubinstein plays, and on the one website I was at, 3,000 people picked this one to listen to, and 350 picked the next most popular one. So I said, this one, I guess, it appeals to some people.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with Rubinstein interpreting Chopin, so...
So you said he's like the gold standard for Chopin performances?
Well, to me he is. I mean, you know, you could, I suppose, Van Cliburn. I mean, you could name a bunch of people that do a superb job. But to me, I can't even explain how he does it, but or did it, I should say. But he just breathes, you know, his phrasing and timing and everything. It's just remarkable, really emotional.
Yeah, that's something... you know, people say that classical music is so rigid and, you know, but every single classical artist puts their own spin on everything. So it, each violinist sounds different. So, and he's actually known as the number one pianist, I guess, the century.
You could probably say that.
He's in the conversation.
I, to me, he's probably my favorite, you know. So, I mean, I love Rudolf Serkin. I mean, there's so many that are great, but to me, especially when he's playing Chopin, but anything he does is just fantastic.
And it's well past, this was recorded, I think, in the 50s or 60s, but he was around at the turn of the century. I'm not sure exactly when he died, but he was a prodigy, like most of these guys are prodigies.
Yeah.
So I guess last century was Franz Liszt was number one, and this century he's... one of the piano players that. So you're saying Van Cliburn would be currently alive and performing now would be like one of the best ones around? Or?
I suppose. I don't know. I mean, they named the Van Cliburn Award after him. So, you know, like his interpretation of Tchaikovsky's first piano concerto in B flat minor is just the gold standard. But I mean, like I said, Rudolf Serkin is one of my favorite. He's very understated, does not like, not ostentatious. There's so many. I mean, to be a classical artist, it's like being a Major League Baseball player. You could be the worst player in the league, and you are an excellent player because you're in the major leagues. Same with classical musicians. I mean, if you can name what's like the bottom of the barrel, well, they're still tremendously talented musicians. You
still know, envy being able to do what they do.
Right, right. And so, you know, you hear somebody like Rubinstein or Itzhak Perlman or whoever. They are just so far above everybody that it's remarkable.
So you said that you haven't recorded anything classical yet. So like 90%, everything you record is like rock or blues.
Yeah.
Or, I guess that would cover.
Yeah,
most
I mean,
of it,
pop-ish, I mean, I started out doing folk, kind of acoustic guitar, and then I guess you could describe some of it as pop. But certainly the blues. I haven't written a lot of blues songs per se, but my style, you know, people say that as soon as I start playing anything, I can just pick up a guitar in a music store and they'll say, oh, you're into the blues. Like, really? I didn't know. I was just playing, you know. And, you know, Clapton is usually evident in my playing, you know. But I haven't written a lot of blues songs. So, you know, folk, pop, rock, little jazz. I've written some classical, I just haven't recorded it.
And I would think blues would be the easiest thing to write because it's kind of like a standard formula to you would
what I've tried to do is change it up a little bit to make it a little more 2000 or whatever it was when I wrote it, without being pretentious and just throwing in wacky chord changes just for the sake of doing it. I don't know if I succeeded or not, but yeah, it is typically, you know, simple 1-4-5, 1-4-5, and it's like more the expression of the person that's performing it and,
right.
And the lyrical kind. I mean, there's so many blues songs like rock and roll songs that are really not any different musically one to the other. What makes it different is the lyrics, usually, and the performance of them, of course.
Well, the audience will get a chance to judge for themselves because Gary will be performing a song live in the studio, and you can let us know if you think it sounds bluesy or what it sounds like.
Okay.
So we'll take a little listen to some more of Arthur Rubinstein playing some Chopin, and then it's going to go into another one of Gary's top 10, the Deacon Blues. I guess that's from Steely Dan's Asia.
Yeah,
that
that's
would be
a great album.
And October Project. So stay tuned. You're listening to WMSC FM. Mike Mitch is me. This is the time slot for Radio Nowhere, but Joe is actually emceeing at a benefit for Logan. And I think Loretta Hagen is playing there, and apparently it's one of her nephews or relation that this young child that needs the support. So Joe took this week off and gave me the slot. He'll be back again next Sunday. So stay tuned for Arthur Rubinstein.
Stayed in bed all morning just to pass the time. There's something wrong here, there can be no denying. One of us is changing, or maybe we just stopped trying. And it's too late, baby, now it's too late. Though we really did try to make it. Something so easy living here with you. You were light and breezy, and I knew just what to do. Now you look so unhappy, and I feel like a fool. And it's too late. There'll be good times again for me and you. But we just can't stay together, don't you feel it too? Still, I'm glad for what we had and how I once loved you. But it's too late, baby, now it's too late. Though we really did try to make it, something inside has died and I can't hide and I just can't fake it. Oh, no, 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 no. It's too late, babe. It's too
I don't believe it. My savings are gone.
Okay, think. Where'd you have them last?
I was home, then I spent them on that vacation and this tiny suit of armor. Now they're gone.
Weird. Weird? Not really. Not saving now means no money later. Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ideas on ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
Oh, I broke his little gauntlet.
Oh, no.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
And this is Mike Mitch is me on WMSC. We just heard a song called Valkyrie by Gary Ault. And Gary, you were telling me that's mythology related, or?
Yeah, the Valkyrie, I mean, it's, you know, you could probably, you know, there's a Valkyrie helicopter, you know, et cetera. But the actual original use of the word Valkyrie is in Norse mythology. And I'm not by any means a mythology expert, and I didn't really dabble in it that much. But I just, you know, felt like writing that song. It's got a little Greek mythology reference in it, too.
I just, I should ask my daughter, since they just started studying mythology in school, and I was asking a few people, why do they bother studying this Greek mythology and all these things that didn't really happen? But it's important. All literature has references to it, so It really broadens. It's a broadening tool, so it's here to stay. And we just finished a few more songs from Gary's Desert Island picks. We heard It's Too Late by Carole King, Deacon Blues. I'll send that out to my brother Frank, who's a big Alabama fan. And I just found out from the DJ in front of me that his other team, the Jets, didn't do too well today, like 49-9 or something. Something.
Wow.
Is World Series on tonight, or is that?
I believe it's today. I think they're on Game 4 in St. Louis.
Okay.
I just know it's 2-1 St. Louis. So.
Yeah, I was happy with the way the game ended yesterday.
Yeah, you know,
I'm rooting for the Cardinals.
Well, I am too. I mean, not that I hate the Red Sox, but I just understand that there was some kind of controversial.
Yeah, I saw replays of it, and the guy was called for obstruction, and it really wasn't his fault. The third baseman tried to catch the ball. He didn't catch the ball. It went through him. So the runner who was on third base was trying to go home, and the way the third baseman fell, his legs happened to go up in the air, and that got in the way of the runner. So because of that, the umpires ruled that he might have made it to home without that obstruction. So that was the game-winning run. So that's very interesting. Yeah. And the other song we played from that set was October Project. And where do they grow up?
I don't know. I met them, but I don't know them personally that well. But from my understanding is that Julie Flanders and Emil Adler, who are the heart of they're a married couple. They're songwriters, and he's the keyboardist. She's a singer, along with Marina Balika and whoever else shows up. Those two, Emil and Julie, are from Montclair. They went to Montclair High School, I believe. I think they might still live in or around Montclair.
Right here around the MMC studios. Huh?
Yeah. I mean, I could be wrong about that, but because I haven't seen them around town or anything. But
I hadn't really been aware too much of October Project's stuff, so I really like that song Sunday Morning, and that particular one has a great vocal on it.
Yeah,
I even read some people say that she's comparable to Annie Haslam, one of my favorite singers. What's her name again?
Mary Fall. Yeah, she is kind of very much like Annie Haslam in a kind of almost like a spooky kind of way, it seems to me. And, you know, I was disappointed when I think that was the last album she did with them.
Right.
I believe, which was disappointing. But Marina Balika comes along. I mean, you know, they're still one of my favorite groups.
Good.
Yeah, terrific. Great songwriters, really great songs.
And they're still putting fresh material out.
Yeah, in fact, I haven't got the latest one, but and I'm going to forget the name of it. I actually played it on my show that you mentioned before. They put out an album of demos that they, you know, it's typical for songwriters to do this. They'll put together a demo to play for someone that they want to have on the session with them, just so you get an idea of what the flow of the song is and all that kind of stuff. And they decided to just release it in the demo
form,
the naked kind of form, you know, in advance of the actual album that they were working on at the time. And I'm not even sure. I should know better because they're one of my favorite groups. I should know whether that album's available or not. But
you will soon. Album is this song you're going to play from, or is it an unreleased song? Or
the one I'm going to play right
live
now.
Yeah.
This is also for my tribute record, which we'll probably get off of in a minute. It's called One Foot on the Road.
Uh-huh.
And it's one of my blues songs. I don't write a lot of blues, I think I said before. But this is one. And actually, it was when I started getting serious about songwriting back in the mid-90s. I actually thought, well, why don't I think of, because I'm not really much of a singer, I'll confess. So I would try to imagine, you know, who might sing this song.
Uh-huh.
And Eric Clapton is more known for his guitar playing than his singing. But I was thinking Eric Clapton. And this song is actually about something that he actually said when he was talking about how he every so often he'll return to a blues album, but then he does go into pop and reggae and rock and stuff like that. But he said, I always kept one foot on the path, he said. So I said, well, I don't want to say one foot on the path. I don't like the way that sounds, but one foot on the road. So I wrote a song called One Foot on the Road during a snowstorm when I was holed up at a friend's house. And
we had no feet on the road.
Exactly.
So the time here is 8 o'clock, WMSC-FM, Upper Montclair, 91.9. And before we move on to your live song, what album was that Valkyrie song from?
Oh, that was from Art of Survival.
And that's your latest CD?
My latest CD. I put it out about 2 years ago, I guess.
And can people find that your stuff on your website?
They can go to my website, garyalt.com, G-A-R-Y-A-L-T.com. I don't actually sell it through my website, but there are links to CD Baby for albums or individual songs. And, of course, you can just go to CD Baby, which is a great – I always hope that people will go there first because they're supporting local – or not local artists,
yeah,
but independent artists. And I think they deserve the support of everyone because they're just – it's such a great outlet. But if it's on CD Baby, it means it's also on Amazon.com. And,
exactly.
And,
yeah, that's why I did. I started by on CD Baby myself, and that's great. The way they give it to iTunes, they give it to Amazon,
right,
and
right.
It's all of a sudden, you know, they handle everything. So.
Right. Yeah, both the albums and the MP3s, the whole bowl of wax.
Yeah. All right, so here we are, Gary Ault, One Foot on the Road.
Okay. Front door, one foot on the road. The road is where I come from, it's where I gotta go. Come on, baby, don't let me leave you alone. I got one foot at your front door, one foot on the road. I've gone so many ways, learned with no regrets. One road was given me, I'm bound to pay my debts. Come on, baby, don't let me leave you alone. I got one foot at your front door, one foot on the road. I was born just a bag full of bones. Found my feet and learned to stand on my own. Set my heart to start on this lonesome road. If you love me for who I am, come up beside me and take my hand. Catch the wind, wind down this road. Where it leads, I don't know. Just a bag full of bones. Found my feet and learned to stand on my own. Set my heart to start on this lonesome road. If you love me for who I am, come up beside me and take my hand. Catch the wind, wind down this road. Where it leads, I don't know. And smell the roses after a while. Get back to my way, mile after mile. Come on, baby, don't let me leave you alone. I got 1 foot at your front door, 1 foot on the road. I got 1 foot at your front door, 1 foot on the road.
Yeah, I should have brought my saxophone. That's yeah. That's a blues song, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a nice guitar work there.
Thank you.
What kind of guitar you got going there?
This is an Alvarez Yeri.
And when you play electric guitar, what kind of electric guitars do you play?
I've got a Paul Reed Smith that's kind of my pride and joy, but I usually play a Strat. I like the sound of the Strat, and it's just easy to carry around. It's, I don't know. I don't worry. It's not a real expensive American-made one, so I'm not worried about it breaking or something like that. I got probably about 10 different guitars.
And how about amp? Is there a favorite amp? Or
I've got a Marshall that needs repair. So I have a Roland BC-60, which I think probably, unless you're a guitarist, you never heard of it before. Because I think they made it for maybe a year or something. I mean, I bought it when it first came out, and by the next year I couldn't find any, and they said they discontinued it. But it's a BC for Blues Cube, 60 for 60 watts. It's just a little, I don't know, 10-inch or 12-inch speaker, probably 10-inch speaker. And it's a solid-state circuitry, but Roland is known for their organ sounds,
yeah.
You know, for their organs mainly. And they did a superb job of making a sound about as tubey and bluesy and warm as you could possibly get with a transistor amp. I don't know why they discontinued it, because it's like $400, you know, and the thing is – so I still use it, even though it gives me a little trouble here and there, but it's a great amp, yeah.
And speaking of the organ, and we were speaking about the piano before, was the piano your first instrument?
Actually, my first instrument was the drums.
Okay.
And I would say the piano came third. I started out as a drummer in the school band in fifth grade because I didn't know what else to pick. They said, do you want to play sax, trumpet? And I said, drum sounds good. And I became a Ringo fanatic right away and then got into Ginger Baker not too long after that. And then from there, I got a guitar when I was, I think, I'm going to say around 11 or, I'm not sure, maybe 10 or 11. Mm-hmm. And the family piano came into the picture when I was probably around 13, and that's when I really started to understand music better, because when you're looking at chord charts and you're trying to figure out why in the world do they call this a G13? What does the number 13 have to do with anything? And then you realize that, oh, okay, you know, it's because it's got an E, you know, and an F in it. That's a 6 and a 7. 6 and 7 is 13. So, you know, playing the piano opened my eyes up. I started playing jazz, classical, you know, Mozart, Chopin, Tchaikovsky, the whole deal. Now I would say the guitar is probably my main instrument, only because I don't have time, you know, being a working middle-aged knucklehead. I don't have time to really give it, you know, the 3-4 hours a day that I used to practicing the piano. So I play guitar mainly.
3-4 hours a day you used to practice.
Oh yeah, when
piano.
I was a teenager, yeah, I had nothing else to do, and I'd play. Cool. I'd sit there and play Mozart for 2 hours and Chopin for another hour, and I can't even begin to play the stuff I used to play when I was a teenager. I don't want to say really really good, you know, you know, like I'm too big headed, but I got a lot better than when I had started out. Put it that way.
So you. We're going back to your Desert Island Discs, and Jeffrey Gaines is on your list.
Mm-hmm.
And so you say you like – you said his first album was really his best album?
Yeah, I think so. It was such an electrifying record that I discovered it by visiting a Coconuts record store, which I think was the first and last time I ever went into one of them. And they happened to be playing – and I thought it sounded like Elvis Costello, but it certainly was not Elvis, and I love Elvis. And I just asked, you know, who is this? He said, it was Jeffrey Gaines. I just had to buy it right there. I couldn't walk out without it. And then I saw him at the Bottom Line not too long after that. And I tell you, it was the most electrifying show I've ever been to.
Wow.
Because it was just the little Bottom Line, you know, and which I think, did they reopen recently? I forget.
I don't think so.
No?
The Stone Pony reopened. But
yeah, I'm mixing it up, I guess. But I know they closed a while back. But
yeah.
So there were like record company executives there, and you know, tables reserved for all these hot shots, and I remember him. He was probably like in his early, you know, maybe mid late 20s or something at the time, and I remember him saying that, you know, because he knew his audience, the composition of his audience. He said that this is one occasion where he can say, "Is there a doctor in the house?" And a whole bunch of people would raise their hands and say, "Yeah," because he had doctors and lawyers and college students. I mean, people of all ages. His songs were just so resonant. I mean, I've got a lot of his albums, but the first one is by far my favorite.
And is that In Your Eyes on that album?
No, actually, he played it at the concert that I was at, and then he put it out. I think the record company handed out free CDs at the show, and it was an electric version of a song called "Headmasters of Mine," you know, with a rock band, and I think maybe another song I forget. But In Your Eyes made it to a version of that, and that it was. I don't know if it's exactly the same version you're going to play. But then on a later album, and I can't remember which one, they actually put out a version. Maybe it's the one you're going to play of In Your Eyes, but it's live, you know. And you know, we were talking about while you were playing songs. You know, it's a Peter Gabriel song, obviously, and Peter Gabriel's version is, you know,
pretty good too.
Yeah, it's the standard, you know. But he's got all the African rhythms and you know, great song. Jeffrey Gaines' version is completely different. It's naked. I mean, it's just him on guitar and vocals. So I don't know if I even want to compare the two. I don't know if I like one better than the other. Uh-huh. But I do know that I love Jeffrey Gaines' version. I think he's a great singer.
That's a pretty brave thing to do to put it out there like that. So here's Jeffrey Gaines with In Your Eyes.
Love. I get so lost sometimes. Days pass, and this emptiness fills my
always 2,000 churches and resolution of all my fruitless searches. Whoa, I see the light and the heat. Yes, I want to be that complete. I want to touch the light, the heat I see in your eyes. Ooh, in your eyes. Ooh, in your eyes.
Close your eyes and I'll kiss you. Tomorrow I'll miss you. Remember, I'll always be true. And then while I'm away, I'll write home every day, and I'll send all my loving to you. I'll pretend that I'm missing the lips I am missing, and hope that my dreams will come true. And then while I'm away, I'll write home every day, and I'll send all my loving to you. All my loving I will send to you. All my loving, darling, I'll be true. Close your eyes and I'll kiss you. Tomorrow I'll miss you. Remember, I'll always be true. And then while I'm away, I'll write home every day, and I'll send all my loving to you. All my loving I will send to you.
made the bus and seconds fly. Found my way upstairs and had a smoke, and somebody spoke and I went into a dream.
Now they know how many holes it takes to fill.